CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the podcast. I'm here with Mitch LaFon. We just got back from M3. Mitch, you had a lot longer drive back than I did. You made it back to Montreal okay?
Yes, I did. It is. It took me about 11 hours to get back here. Yeah, we were a little tired from the weekend, so we said we're going to stop twice and be there by 6:30 at night, and we ended up stopping a lot and got here by 8:30 at night. The coffee was definitely needed, and the breaks were definitely needed. Our legs were like jelly.
Yeah, so obviously, guys, Mitch and I were both at the great M3 Festival, the 10-year anniversary, and our buddy Nick was there along with you, Mitch, taking all sorts of great pictures, which I'm going to be posting on TalkingMetal.com and TalkingRock.net, so definitely go check those out. Today, I hope to have some up of Faster Pussycat and Pretty Boy Floyd, because those are the two guests on the podcast today. Mitch and I interviewed these guys. Actually, I started off interviewing Tamey on my own, and then you kind of wandered in towards the end of the interview, and then Chad started chiming in, and I think even Ace Von Johnson, who was also in the room, started chiming in. So it starts kind of as a one-on-one and ends up as more of a group thing.
A gangbang kind of interview. But it was good because you got Tamey talking about some of his addiction problems and some of, you know, trying to be sober. And then we got into new music and is he going to start doing sort of the industrial. Anyway, I don't want to give away the entire interview, but it was sort of like two interviews in one and almost three interviews in one, because the theme sort of changed as the different players started adding to the conversation. And I thought that was great. I think it gave a layer, like almost like an onion. We were peeling back onions with every new voice that chimed in.
Yeah. And in, you know, Tamey was just really gracious with his time after performing, and I can't thank him enough because he really hasn't done a lot of interviews the last few years. So I feel really fortunate that we were able to get him on Talking Metal and that he spent some time with Mitch and myself at the M3 Festival. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the festival. But right now, let's get into the song Slip of the Tongue, followed by our brand new interview with Tamey Down of Faster Pussycat. Here we go, guys.
Slip of the tongue, I'm addiction. We are backstage here at M3. Tammy down. Tammy, I got to tell you, last year I was here, and it was a sad time because you weren't here. The band played without you, and it was an emotional moment for us fans. And I got to say, 1 year later, you're here. You're clean and sober, and congratulations, man. I mean, we're so happy to have you here at M3 and have you healthy.
Well, thank you very much. It's odd. Yeah, last year was not real fun on my part either. I was sitting in a hospital room in Laurel, Maryland.
Right.
Them telling me I had all types of things wrong with me. So I was like, yeah, be able to come back, and I've just been sober and quit doing drugs and drinking and eating really killer, disgusting food.
Right.
But, you know. But
yeah, you quit smoking, too?
Yeah, and I quit smoking.
Congratulations, man. Wow.
I mean, I've gotten to eat better stuff now, so I've learned to cook what actually tastes decent. Before, when I first started, it was just awful. It was I used to love going to the grocery store and just grabbing all the good shit, and then it's like, and then I was like, I can't eat that. Can't eat it that. But now my heart's pretty much back to normal now. So
good.
A year sober and drug free and smoke free. So it's kind of, it's odd after spending my whole adult life wrecked.
Right.
Yeah.
You look great too. You lost some weight, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
a little bit. And actually, I lost a bunch and gained some of it back, and like muscle and stuff in my legs doing. I go out, I walk every day now. And
awesome. It's just.
And my chick moved in, so it's like, it's my whole life's completely flipped upside down. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but
right.
I'm still here, so that's the main thing, I guess.
Right. Well, congratulations.
But yeah, it was
again.
Fun
great
to
news.
Come back and do it again this year.
So yeah.
And actually get to play.
Right. So. Right on. As far as, you know, it's been a while since we've heard any new music from Faster Pussycat. Is that anything you ever envision doing, a new Faster Pussycat record?
We started working on stuff before I got sick. And now it's like I'm going through it and we're redoing shit. But I've just been like, it's another one of those things. I went in the, just got my studio fired up, make sure everything's working after. Because I had my girlfriend move in and I just had to throw out old stuff and just clean up and try to refresh my stuff and just listen. Before, I'd go in there with a beer and some Jack on the Rocks, pile of cocaine and two packs of smokes and go, let's get to work. And now it's like I go in there like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing here now?
Yeah.
But I've been relearning how to play guitar like some of the right ways instead of dirty punk ways that I find it. Figured 53, I'll learn how to play it right, some of it. So we got a bunch of stuff that was half track that are just needs to be going and retweak and stuff like that. So I've just been getting in the groove of that, working with an acoustic guitar too, learning how to play actual chords.
Okay.
So it's like I got to figure out what the hell I'm going to write about. I can't write about banging chicks and getting fucking hammered and stuff. So I did that in my ute. Right. So it's like I got a bunch of ideas that I'm get working on. We're gonna work on a bunch of stuff before we go out this summer.
Cool.
So we have a batch of songs that we started before we came out last year for this, and then that whole derailed everything.
Right.
Getting sick and stuff. So
right. Cool.
But yeah, definitely gonna work on some new shit. So even though every time you play something new, they're like, why don't you play that other one? It's like, and then they bitch, well, I want to hear some new shit. So
yeah. Right. But you mean the audience.
Exactly. It's like, you can never win. But we've got a few things that we're working on that are pretty cool, so we'll see.
What kind of style, stylistically? I mean, Faster Pussycat.
Just dirty rock.
Dirty rock,
so.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm going to work on some new shit, fresh shit. That's not even, you know what I mean? So I'm curious what that's going to turn out. You know, like, I have no idea. That's going to be working on some of the stuff we already started, and then brand new shit.
Right.
That's not started, conceived on fresh. You know, that I'm gonna. I have no idea what that's gonna entail.
Right.
Because I've never done it ever.
Okay. All right.
I didn't really write when I was little. So that was when I was sober. And so, but ever since I've been playing rock and roll and doing that, I've been, you know.
Partying. Your dad was a musician too, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you've had music your whole life. Yeah.
So, but in terms of writing, I always did it pretty kind of inebriated a little bit because I was like, get buzzed and come up with some hooks and do some shit. And
right.
So now it's like, okay, see what happens.
Right on. Well, so, good luck. Thanks. And we hope to hear it at some point. You still doing a lot of riding on your bike?
That's like, that helped me get through this too, you know.
Yeah.
It's just weird, like, not stopping smoking.
Right.
I'm just so, I've been smoking since I was 15. So it's like, but it's nice. It's cool. It's like, Ricky's all happy.
Yeah.
Ace is all happy. We got a smoke-free tour bus now.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Chad's. But before, it's like, I'm paying for this fucking bus. I'm smoking where I want.
Is it hard for you to be around other people drinking or smoking? No.
A little bit more drinking. I kind of want to have a drink. You know
right.
what I mean? I didn't want to quit any of this, but.
Yeah.
But for my health, it's better for, you know, even like to smoking, especially. I was always like, just before I got sick, I was just like talking to somebody at my house when we were just shooting a shit. Like, I'll probably never quit smoking.
Right.
I go, that's one of those things I'm just going to deal with. It's the stupidest thing I ever did, started.
Yeah.
But I'll probably never quit ever.
Right.
And a few weeks later, I'm like in the hospital. So I was like, but. I go walking every day, do a couple miles every day.
That's great.
In the morning and stuff, and I don't get winded walking down the street. So it's like before. But
so you guys are going out on tour. There's
a
headlining tour, right?
Yep. Yeah, we've out for like 8 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that.
In July. June, right? Is it June?
July.
Is it July?
Oh, July. We start just like the 4th of July or the 5th. I think the 5th in Sacramento. And then till the end of August, I think the 26th.
And this is a headlining tour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
cool.
Clubs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Well, it's great seeing you. So you got a question? Mitch LaFon here. He's going to jump
in. Krispy Kreme shirt. Yeah. That's a good one.
Mitch LaFon here from Westwood One's Rock Talk. Talk to me about the sound, because in the early or the late 90s to early 2000s, you started getting into more sort of industrial sounding and more, you know, loops and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just brought in different stuff. I just got bored with doing it. I just wanted to learn more shit, just like I was doing before. So just incorporate, it's all still, even with like the Newly Deads and stuff too, it was all still 4/4 stuff. We throw in loops and just make it creepier, use more effects, and just had fun just doing different shit. So
when you're talking new album, do we go towards the loops again and the Newly Dead stuff, or
I've
are we going back
to,
old school?
I've been listening Creedence. To a whole lot of Creedence,
right?
A lot of like Steve Miller shit, but then I got like shit like the Iggy and stuff. So who knows? I have no idea what's gonna come out. You know, we got some stuff that we already worked on. It's pretty rock, pretty
it's gonna be rock,
just Stonesy rock and roll, whatever. And then like I said too, I don't know what's gonna come out of this brain when I start working on stuff in the studio.
But
it's
got to be great to have the freedom to go into the studio now, because back in the day, the studio or the record company would say, we need a single, we need a ballad.
Having Pro Tools in my, I mean, I've had that shit for, right. I've had my home studio for,
so there's no pressure
ever.
On this one though. You just go in and whatever comes
out. We have some stuff. I mean, like I said, I was telling her, say earlier, it's like most of the time they want to hear the old shit that they know. So it's like, but, and that's the thing too. If I'm going to put out new stuff, I'm not putting it out just to put it out. I want it to be cool.
Right.
So, I mean, we got oodles of shit we've been sitting on for that we're doing during Power in the Glory Hole and shit. There's like stuff that wasn't done or.
That was like 2009, right? We're like
2008, something like that.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, there was stuff that was tracked, but because, like I said, we just get wrecked and come. We have the Pretty Ugly Club. We just have people over and like, just track some shit, and have like Ed from Monster Magnet, and just different people over. CC,
Tracy Guns,
whatever. Just everybody would just be over. We'd come over after the club, and we'd just get Cantrell and just fucking drag in from backyard and stuff. Just whoever was in town, we'd end up at my house partying until fucking whenever. But we'd track shit. You know, it's just fun. But there's like lots of stuff that was never finished. That's some cool riffs, some cool shit on that. I got
tracks with like Jerry Cantrell playing and the guys from Monster.
I've known
the last record. Oh, okay.
I've known fucking Jerry and those guys. You know, I'm from Seattle, so it's like. You know.
That's right. Now, in terms of timetable, is this something that you want to get out for like 2019, or is it like, well, listen, it'll be when it'll be, and
it'll be when it'll be. But I want to get it fucking out. There's a bunch of shit. Like I said, I got some time to. I have some things to go through.
Right.
There's a bunch of stuff I want to go through. It's like, oh, I forgot about that. So that's a good fucking couple weeks worth of just at least
and
just
then,
going through that shit. And but then, I, like I said too, I want to start something completely fresh that I've never You know what I mean? I have no idea what's going
to
come out.
And I'll finish
like.
On this. Are you talking to labels at this point, or is it going to be one of these Pledge Music kind of things? Like we're not there. We're not in
it's
that process
whole,
yet.
This whole like industry is completely different now. It's not like we are some huge big like Bon Jovi or you know what I mean, where someone's
but House of Pain is still one of the greatest rock ballads ever. I'll give you that.
Cool shit, but I'm not. You know, I'm not. I'll figure out it. If we get a good song done, I'm not worried about it. Okay. I'll figure out a way to get it out there where people can hear it.
Plus, we have enough studios. And, I mean, between.
Between
Tammy's house and Gilby's, because you know we tried Fred's Curry from Cinderella. Yeah, we've got
we're three
studios that we're tracking in and out of constantly. So it isn't
once we get on a once
we don't really have the pressure of we owe this bill. So we need to make this money to pay that bill. That scenario doesn't exist.
Budget's not our concern. It's just a matter of getting stuff done, and that whole getting sick thing changed a lot of shit up. You know, changed what we were working on before, and just focus on different things. And I got to approach everything differently. You know what I mean? I'm not an
Everything. Your whole life.
Not just music. Just getting up and going. The kitchen and making coffee and not looking for my smokes and you know whatever. Right. At least I'm not fucking. I haven't been hung over in a year, so that's pretty great. Cool.
And I saved a
lot of money on the smokes and the cocaine and shit stuff too. So
it's not tax deductible.
Well, it's great to see you healthy as a fan of your
music.
Man. We look forward to many more years of
cool. I hope we can put out some stuff that you guys will dig soon. So definitely that's on the front burner. Shit to do, not like the back burner. So
awesome. Well, thanks to you, Tammy, and also Chad, who chimed in at the end of the interview there, and Mitch LaFon. So yeah,
an ace
is here. Ace, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, man.
Nice to see you. I just saw the back of your head the whole time.
Yeah.
Emily says hello.
That's what she said.
Cool. Yeah. All right, we'll kill it there. All right, thank you.
Everywhere it stays. Sunshine, fall, we'll make it. Which he may never find.
was Jack the Bastard, going way back to 1992 by Faster Pussycat. A big thanks to Tammy for sitting down with us. And Mitch, thanks to you, because, I mean, you were working your ass off at the M3 Festival. Yeah. I mean, you were doing interviews, you were running the camera, you were lining stuff up. I mean, it was a busy weekend for us both, and we got to enjoy some of the music, you know, between all our working. And man, what a great event. A big thanks to Eric Baker, who lines this up every year and always took such great care of us. I can't thank him enough. And just thanks to all the bands like Faster Pussycat and Pretty Boy Floyd who played. We have so much coverage coming up. This is just the tip of the iceberg here on this first episode of the M3 coverage. Mitch is going to be having coverage on his...
The Westwood One show, yeah. Yes. And I got to say one thing just quickly about Eric Baker and M3. I have gone to many festivals like you, and, you know, I'm used to heavy Montreal where everything backstage and everything is first class. The catering is first class. The accommodations are first class. The way the heavy Montreal people treat you are first class. And when I go to some of the other festivals, it's very Mickey Mouse. And M3 is a serious festival. It is run beautifully. Everybody is treated like kings and queens. The fans are having a great time. The backstage is wonderful. Everything is organized. It was easy to get interviews set up. There was no running around. There was nobody waiting at a fence outside. So just kudos to Eric and his team for having made it a festival that can not only rival Heavy Montreal, but it's just a great, it's just great. I mean, I don't even know how to say it. There's no words for it. It was just, I'm so used to going to these festivals that are ticky-tack, and to not have to have suffered through that, it's like, oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, whoever, you know. So thanks to that team.
And yeah, Jordan, who was working with us, lining up interviews, bringing guests to us, and hit the intern, Michael. Sorry, Michael, I don't know your last name, but you were great. Michael even jumped in and ran the camera for me sometimes.
I mean, was there anybody who wasn't great? I mean, there was just nobody who wasn't great. They all had a big smile on their face. They were all very accommodating. They were all very helpful and useful and friendly. And the, you know,
and Jade was great for us too. She really helped out the Talking Metal Jade, team and Mitch and myself. So big thanks to her too.
Yes, and yeah, head over to my Twitter at Mitch LaFon to check out some of those pictures of Jade. She's very pleased with them.
Yeah, very good. And one other quick note about Faster Pussycat. When I started the interview with Tammy, I think I said last year Faster Pussycat's set was sad, and I just wanted to clarify, it was great. Last year, 2017, I loved seeing them play. It was just emotional because Tammy had fallen ill right before the M3 Festival, and it was an emotionally moving set to see them up there without their leader, and that's all I was trying to express to Tammy. It wasn't sad. It wasn't a negative experience. It was just that we were missing Tammy big time last year, and we were so, I mean, it was even more emotional this year to see him back on stage with the band, and I can't wait for this summer tour they're going to do. Make sure you check them out when they're coming through your town. All right, Mitch, so we got another interview here that we recorded at M3, the 10-year anniversary of M3. Who do we have?
We have got from the one and only Pretty Boy Floyd, Steve Sex Summers. And yes, I know that it is 2018, but he will always be Sex Summers to me.
Right on. And let's get into a little music by Pretty Boy Floyd right now. This is some new Pretty Boy Floyd here on Talking Metal. Feel the Heat, followed by Mark and Mitch's interview with Steve from Pretty Boy Floyd.
Feel the beat, use the hotline, feel the heat.
it's Mark Striegel here along with Mitch LaFon, and we are backstage at the M3 Festival with Steve Sex Summers. Great set tonight, Steve. We really enjoyed it. Awesome.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I'm glad you threw that sex in there. It's not 1988, but it's 2018. We could still do it.
Right on. So yeah. This is the 10th year of the M3 Festival. How many times have you guys played the festival?
Just once.
No,
I mean, we've been asked to play every year, but you know, you got to turn it down once in a while. But yeah, we played in 2011, and here we are again.
So twice at this point.
Yes, twice. The official answer. Cool. Yes.
So you kept the band going for many years when Christy wasn't there and so on and so forth. Talk to me about keeping the band alive through those years and now getting back together and having Public Enemies come out.
Well, when we put Pretty Boy Floyd together, or when I put Pretty Boy Floyd together, or me and Christy formed it, or and all that kind of fun stuff, I knew I was going to probably do it forever. I mean, I love all the bands like Kiss and Motley and Alice Cooper, Sweet, Hanoi Rocks, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just like any other business, you know, employees go and employees pass, employees get replaced, this and that, whatever. So, we've kept it going, very cool, and we've had a lot of great guys in the band, and but now we're very happy to be one, to be on Frontier Records, two, to put out a brand new record, which we haven't really put out a full Pretty Boy Floyd record, you know, in a while. There's been like demos and EPs and re-releases and all that kind of stuff. So right now we're very happy. Me and Chris are communicating well, and everything's great.
Which is great. Talk to me about the relationship with Frontier Records. Is there a second album coming down the pike, or are you going to sort of work this one a bit longer? It came out 2017.
Oh, we're going to work this one for a very... I mean, we just started with this one. I mean, we got the first single, you know, Feel the Heat video and stuff like that. We'll probably, honestly, put out three or four singles.
Okay.
I mean, we will work this record for probably at least 2 years. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of songs on there and a lot of, you know, it's not like we got to make $20,000 videos or anything like that. But we've had, you know, great reviews. The fans love it. You know, it's charted in places or so. If charts were correct, this and that, you know, we'd be on bigger charts.
Right.
With the amount of sales that we've had and this and that. But, you know, so we're very happy.
Yeah, I think the fan response has been absolutely wonderful. And having followed the band since your very first album, Electric Boys, right? Leather Toys, right?
Leather Boys and Leather Toys, yeah.
Did I tell you the story about how that came on to me?
No.
I kept going into the record store and a guy...
Boy, this is
going
to go forever, huh? No, go ahead.
It's going to be a long one. We're not breaking.
20 minutes.
It's a 20, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the history of.
Yeah.
But no, the guy at the record store, he kept seeing me walk in and buy albums, and he said, "You've got to buy this one, Pretty Boy Floyd." And I went, "Why?" They said, you have to.
Because it's a really cool cover, and they're sleazy.
And it was sleazy, and it was great.
Right.
So now that you're going to work this one for a little bit longer, was there sort of a freedom going into it, knowing that all these years have passed, you don't have to chase trends, you could just go in and just do what Pretty Boy
Floyd... Well, we've never really chased trends anyways. We've always been Pretty Boy Floyd with even all the lineups we had or this or that, whatever. It just happened to be it was time when me and Chris came to agreement with, you know, with what we were going to do. And we were going to say, let's finally record what would have been, you know, our second record. Right. So, I mean, people could hear on those songs or so that it sounds like it comes off the Sunset Strip and comes after... probably Leather Boys, and there's still a lot of stuff left off there and what we're going to do for the next record and all that stuff. So so what the fuck was the question? Okay, got
it. So you have the new music video out, which I saw, Feel the Heat, which is great. Is there plans for another music video, another single on the way?
Yeah, our next single is going to be the ballad.
Okay.
We Can't Bring Back Yesterday.
Right.
And we're working on the video. We've already started a little bit,
okay. But
since we have all these shows coming up, we're going to do some stuff with, some of the crowds and stuff like that, which we've never had in our videos, which, you know, I mean, there's going to be a story, this and that, whatever, but also some crowd stuff. And, so no, it'll be, I would say in the next 2-3 months tops. We Can't Bring Back Esther would be out. It was a choice. We did it kind of with the fans. We're like, what do you want to hear? And they said, We Got the Power or We Can't Bring Back Yesterday. So definitely those two, and then probably another one.
Awesome. And you just recently played the Frontiers Rock Festival in Italy. How'd that go?
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, no, it was awesome. Going overseas is always incredible. There was a lot of interesting bands on there. But the fans were great. And it was a great time. In reality, we wish we could have been there longer.
Yeah.
Okay. It was kind of like fly in there,
right.
Get dressed, put your makeup on, go on stage, this and that, whatever, and get the hell out of there and right. so on. But we've played Italy before and overseas and all that stuff, but the fans were great.
Cool. And again, the new record is Public Enemies. Check it out online. It's available. It's on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, wherever you get your music. Public Enemies by Pretty Boy Floyd. Steve, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. You guys are awesome. Mitch, you, awesome. Thank you so much.
right there, some classic Pretty Boy Floyd, Leather Boys with Electric Toys. I have to admit, when they played that at the festival, I just got a big smile on my face. It was so great to hear that. And so great to see those guys back in action. As I mentioned to Steve after the interview, my band once opened up for them at Connections in Clifton, New Jersey. Oh, probably back in like 2003, I'm guessing. So, yeah, Pretty Boy Floyd at the M3 Festival. Mitch, we have so much more coverage. I'm so excited to get all this stuff that we recorded down at M3 to the listeners and the viewers. We're going to be posting it on YouTube and on Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. So, yeah. So much great stuff coming up, guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think, quite frankly, I was looking backstage at people doing interviews, and I think we did probably 9/10 of all the interviews that were done that day. We were working like crazy, and
yeah. 2 days, yeah.
2 days, and just everybody. I mean, you know, the Great White guys and Steve Brown, a Trickster, who didn't even play there. He was just hanging out, and we said, "Come on, let's do this." And boy, just the Lynch Mob guys, and just wait till folks hear that, because that is. That is comedy right there. That is comedy gold.
Right.
That
on.
Interview. So yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, and let's plug Rock Talk, because we're gonna put on the interview that you did with Great White, which I thought was just great. I sat in the room with you guys as you were doing it. I didn't participate in the interview, but I got right. to hear it, and I loved it just sitting there in the room. And we're gonna do that on Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon coming up real soon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to post that one on May 21st. And by the way, if you look at it, you've got Mitch, Mark, May, because we're going to really do all of M3 during May. So right there, you've got your M3. We are M3.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate you joining me here on Talking Metal. I just always want to thank the Patreon supporters. You guys have really stepped it up, and I just appreciate all the support I'm getting on Patreon. And, of course, the Amazon users, or the people who are using our Amazon links is what I'm trying to say. And the people who are buying Talking Metal t-shirts, they're still selling. And I really didn't know how this was going to work when I got the t-shirts, but I had to order even more. So thanks for supporting Talking Metal by buying our t-shirts, guys. I really appreciate it. And also just a real quick thanks to Anthony Mackey for your PayPal donation. Was it Anthony Mackey? Let me just pull this up. I got it right here. Yeah, Anthony Mackey on PayPal. You're doing Patreon, Anthony, and you're sending me donations on PayPal. You're amazing. Thank you so much, Anthony. And thank you, Mitch. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just corner the market in M3. We've got this. It's going to be wonderful.
Guys, I'm sure you already follow Mitch on Twitter, but if you don't, it's at Mitch LaFon, and subscribe to Westwood One's Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon on iTunes and all your normal podcasting outlets.
Yeah, Google Play as well. And the real exciting one, and I'd just like to throw that in there, Amazon Alexa also has me.
Cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
How's right? You literally can sit in your living room and say to the Amazon thingy there, Mitch LaFon,
yeah.
and it'll play the show,
which
is weird but cool. I like it.
Absolutely. All right, Mitch. We'll
thank you.
We'll
always
talk to you
always
soon.
A pleasure.
Yeah,
yes, sir.